Welcome to the Down to Dirt podcast. I'm your host, Trevor Mills. This podcast is meant to provide stories, insights, updates, really anything that connects the Landmark team, the Landmark family together.
On episode two today, we're going to go beyond the dirt into the numbers, the strategy, and the business structure that keeps Landmark moving. With us today, we got Jeff Kerr, our chief financial officer, and we're going to get right into it. We're going to start with your background. Tell us your career path. You're a CFO, but...
Yeah, no, I was not born that way, and I've been doing this quite a long time. So journey. I got my bachelor's degree from the College of Charleston. I have a bachelor's in accounting, and shortly after college, I actually went to work for a CPA firm. So that was my initial background. I worked for two separate firms for roughly 7 years. Got a great deal of knowledge and experience doing that. It's great because you get exposure to different industries. I got some exposure to construction, but I got exposure to a bunch of different industries as well as different financial disciplines. We did tax work, we did audit engagements, did consulting. So just a wide breadth of experience there. So like I said, I worked for two firms, did that for about 7 years, and then had an opportunity to get into private industry in real estate and resort development. So that was my first industry job. I took a job as a senior project accountant. The company I worked for developed an island. So we did a lot of subdivision infrastructure work. So again, some more exposure to construction there, as well as building club facilities and those kind of things. I guess my biggest project there was probably we did 300,000 square feet in a mixed residential retail space. Again, just highlighting the construction stuff there. So within that company, I did that role for about a year, and then I started getting promoted to various junior level controller positions. So I was the controller of the club for a while, which gave me some good management experience. I had two people reporting to me there. Again, did that for about another year and was promoted to the assistant corporate controller within the company. So at that point, I was in charge of, from a financials perspective, from development operations, the club operations, or a brokerage company, just the whole shebang. Great experience there. Had a couple more positions within that company. And finally, the last 5 years I was there, I was like the corporate controller. So basically the main finance guy reporting to the CFO at that time. So I worked for that company in total for 13 years. And then the opportunity here at Landmark came available. And I met with Rick and Cindy about it and was very interested in the role and the position. And so here I am. I've been here for 8 years now, started as director of accounting and been the CFO here for probably the last 2 years. So that's my journey over the past almost 30 years, 27 years in accounting.
So tell me specifically with construction, what is exciting, I guess? What makes this different than another accounting job? I think that people forget that all of these kind of jobs, whether it's a blue collar company or whatever, all need these positions.
That's right.
So for me specifically in high school, even really in college, I had no idea that a construction, like it just never crossed my mind that marketing, a CFO, financial stuff, like that isn't every single business. So it's such a cool niche. And I love construction just because of that. It's such a different view of how my peers in marketing see things in their roles. How is that different here than somewhere else that's maybe more corporate or something like that?
I think the construction industry, what I like about it is there's a lot of variety, right? So we're not a manufacturing company. We're not producing 100,000 widgets of whatever every year, and it's just the same thing over and over again. Yeah, we do construction projects that are very similar, but we work for different customers. The projects are slightly different. They've got different timelines. They've got different challenges. So I think it keeps it interesting having that variety. And what I will also say is not having my whole background in construction, you really don't realize. I know we just went with the tagline, it starts with us, but it really does. I'm looking out, you can look out the window. You've got your roadways, you've got all these buildings, commerce, businesses, schools. Nothing is possible without what it is that we do and our folks in the field do every day. It hits you when you get into it. And it really does start with us. And none of it is possible without what we do.
Absolutely. One quick question before we jump into your view of construction and how Assist and Landmark doing what they do. Do you have a moment that you're most proud of in your career so far?
So I think there's a couple things. I think in my previous role, I just went through my history. So when I got promoted to my last position there, my corporate controller position, we had just gone through a sale. A private equity company had bought us out.
Right.
And my boss had left to go with our previous owner. So I got thrust into that position. And I'm very proud of the fact that I was able to handle that whole transition from being the company that we were into now being incorporated into this big, huge hedge fund. And it's cool from an accounting perspective. I won't bore everybody about it. There's a lot of fair market value accounting and things that go on when you have a transaction such as that. But I was really proud of being able to handle that transition and step up and be a leader in that instance, and bring it all together from a financial perspective. And then the other one I would say is really once I got named, when I was named CFO of this company, it's one of the highest positions that you can get in finance. And I was very proud to be named CFO and take that to work with me every day and try to do the best I can with it. But it was a very proud moment when it was announced that I was CFO of the company. Yep.
Absolutely. All right. So now we're going to jump into what you do on a high level.
Sure.
Because I think that there's guys that they walk in once a week or they don't ever come into this office and maybe never see you. They might see you on cost report days or something like that. But in some sense, you and really your whole department are a mystery. So just tell us exactly what a CFO does in a construction company from a high level.
Okay. Yeah, we'll try and pull back the velvet curtain a little bit and let you guys know what we do. So really, I have overall responsibility for the financial reporting within the company. It's important because this reporting allows us to make business decisions every day.
Sure.
So whether it be job cost reports to where people can, we can all collaborate and figure out where we are on these jobs from a cost standpoint, or equipment reports where we can see whether or not we're making money or losing money on our pieces really down to the individual level, or whether it be just our overall company income statement that gets provided to our owners and to our third-party partners, such as our banking institutions and those kind of things. It's financial reporting and ensuring the accuracy of that is a very big part of my job.
Absolutely.
Along with financial analysis. So once we have an accurate set of financial reports, we tend to go in there and analyze it and see if there's any opportunity for cost savings or operational efficiency. So we're always looking for those kind of things too. Financial planning is a big piece of it. And this is where budgeting and forecasting come into play. We set these budgets and we update them with forecasts, and then we measure them against actual results throughout the year. And that's the scorecard piece of it, right? We measure ourselves on how we're doing against what put forth at the end of a year. There's a risk management piece of it. We do, and you think insurance there, do we have adequate insurance coverage, workers' comp, for auto, for liability, for the jobs, for the things that we've got going on in the field? Are we adequately insured from a risk perspective? Contract language is a big thing. Are our contracts up to date? Are they protecting us against things going on in the world, such as tariffs? Are we protected from cost increases? Those are the kind of things that we look for. Is there adequate cash flow into business to support the strategic goals that have been put in place? Those kind of things from a risk management perspective. Big thing is maintaining banking relationships. It's such a capital intensive business with the yellow iron. We always have to have adequate access to financing capital in order to, especially we go after big jobs and we've got to mobilize a lot of equipment at one time. So it's very important to maintain those relationships along, not even just equipment. Equipment financing. Do we have general credit in case we need to, operating wise, if we ever need to pull down some cash to help the business operate?
Sure.
Yeah. So that's a big piece of it. And then I would say supporting strategic goals. You were at our last strategic planning meeting and we come away with a list of things that we want to accomplish during the year. And it's my job to make sure that we have adequate cash flow or adequate financing in order to support those initiatives.
Yeah, absolutely. So specific to civil site work, what challenges do you face that maybe others wouldn't face in this industry?
Yeah, so I think especially with what we do, a large portion of our work is self-performed work. We're not a general contractor subbing things out to everybody. It's really staggering the amount of data that has to be collected on a weekly basis. We've got hundreds of people dispersed between dozens of job sites reporting time cards. They report their hours on time cards. They put their equipment hours on time cards. We have the Ticket Pro system to record materials arriving on site, and all of that information has to be gathered and collected and import into the accounting system so that we can maintain accurate financial records. And it's a big job. Again, I think I touched on it earlier, but this industry in particular is so capital intensive. You've got a dozer, an excavator, an off-road truck. Those things cost $300,000-$400,000 a piece.
Absolutely.
Again, maintaining adequate access to capital so that we can purchase the equipment that we have to have in order to perform these jobs is a big challenge. And then bonding capacity. So the work that we go after is big work. And I guess not all of our jobs are bonded jobs, but a lot of them are, especially the big ones. And we have to maintain adequate bonding capacity in order to even go after these jobs, which means maintaining healthy financial statements so that the bonding company is comfortable, you know, doing that for us. But that's a big challenge that I don't think other industries face.
Can you explain what bonding is and why that's needed for these big jobs?
Yeah, so it's usually have a performance bond and a payment bond. And if we're working for a general contractor or directly for an owner, they want some assurance on the payment bond side that ensures that we're paying our people, our subcontractors. And if we don't, and these people go to put a lien on the job, then they can look to the bonding company to pay these people and clear all of that up.
Absolutely.
And then you've got the performance bond. That is if we somehow fail in our performance obligations under the contract, that gives the owner or the GC the ability to go to the bonding company. And then the bonding company, in that instance, would find another contractor to replace us and finish the job.
Gotcha. You mentioned forecasting and budgeting. I don't know if you wanted to touch quickly on how that supports Landmark's growth near and far out.
Sure. Yeah, the budgeting and forecasting really provides a roadmap for the next 12, 24 months, whatever period of time we set it for. And then you're able to measure how you're doing as you go along and measure it against that roadmap. And it allows you to make decisions, right? How you're performing against that roadmap.
All right. So specifically, I think a lot of times you get cast into this, well, accounting's, it's overhead, it's somewhere, they're in the building, they're looking at stuff, but you're also partnering with operations teams regularly. Tell us about.
So we partner with equipment management on purchasing equipment. And part of that is when we decide that we need a new piece of equipment, we have several options available to us to land that equipment, whether it is purchasing it outright, leasing it, or renting it. So Chris Varnador and I work closely on that. We've developed a decision spreadsheet over the years that, based on the terms on our financing options, will tell us the best option, whether it is to own the equipment, lease it, or rent it. We partner with the operations group on equipment utilization. We have reports that tell us if particular pieces of equipment are overutilized, underutilized. Overutilization would lead to us maybe making a decision to bring in another piece of equipment, or is it underutilized and do we need to get rid of some stuff? So that's all important stuff. We work with estimating on keeping up with equipment and labor rates so that they have the most accurate information possible when they're filling out these bids and we're going after new work. And then project management, we partner with them every month on job cost reviews, and that includes looking at particular risks on jobs. But yeah, we partner with a lot of different divisions within the company.
What specifically, we're growing pretty rapidly,
right?
Landmark is as a whole. What does that financial discipline look like when we're growing so rapidly and you as a CFO are trying to navigate as we just continue to rise?
Yeah, I think from obviously there's lots of controls that from a finance perspective that we put in place to help control costs and make sure we're going down the right path. But from a very high view, I think this is where budgeting plays a key role. It's very important to set budgets, but not only we don't want to set them and forget them. We want to review those budgets on a monthly basis against actual results and see how we're doing and see if we need to make adjustments or if we need to pivot or if there's particular buckets of money we need to move around. If we felt the need to overspend in one area, can we make it up in another area? So I think it's very important to have those discussions on an ongoing basis. I think it's very important that we keep our overall costs. We measure those against the revenues that we've generated throughout a particular period of time and make sure those percentages are in line with what the estimating department bid. Because, you know, you don't want your indirect costs or your overhead costs that you bid at a certain percent running over that. So I think it's important to measure that. And then from an investment standpoint, I think it's important to invest smartly in growth. Pick the two or three areas you want to grow in and really dial in on those things instead of trying to just throw it at everything and not see what sticks, but you can't do everything. So I think it's important to identify a couple areas you want to invest in and just focus on those.
So a good example that comes to mind for me immediately would be new equipment and things like that. But also even our last office,
right,
we were Landmark, was there over 20 years. What's that process like when someone says, hey, I think we need a bigger, nicer office?
Right.
What does that look like from your perspective? How does that go?
So anytime we're making that kind of investment decision, the first thing you do is operationally identify a need, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's a piece of equipment or an office building, you've identified a need, right? Like you said, we've been in the old office for 20 plus years. We were busting at the seams out of there. and knew that we needed a bigger location to accommodate the growth and the people that we were hiring. So step one is identifying the need. Step two is you have to quantify the impact of fulfilling that need. And through quantifying it, you're able to make a decision on whether it makes financial sense or not, and you can make your decision accordingly. If it's a yes decision, then the question is, okay, how do we pay for it? Do we pay for it out of operating cash flow, or do we go to one of our lending institutions and ask for a loan to finance part of it or all of it or whatever the case may be? The one that we do on a basically on a daily basis is a piece of equipment. You identify that need, we quantify the impact, and then we make a financing decision on how we want to pay for it. But the same is true for even this office building. We had to put together a pro forma financial statement on this office building to see how much it was going to cost us and see whether it fit in line with our budgets and how we bid and estimate things. And we made that decision accordingly.
Interesting. So balancing risk and reward, I feel like that's something you do every day, but do you have an example of how you do that on a daily basis? Just, I think everybody in some way or another on their job balances risk and reward. And a lot of times, the risk is a safety risk,
right,
which obviously err on the side of being safe. But from a financial perspective as a company, both on a high level and also down to the details, what does that look like as far as just, I guess, balancing the risk and reward?
Yeah. So I think mitigating risk in our industry is huge. We're on job sites with pieces of equipment that weigh, I don't know what they weigh, but it's tons and tons of pounds that can damage other equipment, can hurt people, can do all of those things. Through our safety initiatives that Anthony started, I think he's done a good job in trying to mitigate that risk from a safety perspective, from loss of property, a loss of life. Obviously, those things cost money as well. So I think we've done a good job doing that. But I think in our business, it's very important to try to mitigate risk anytime we can. And some specific examples on how we do that. Financial risk to a project that maybe has a tight budget. We do this all the time where something we may have bid to self-perform. Maybe we swap that out or a portion of that out and we sub some of it out to a subcontractor that we know fits within our budget. So we take some of that risk off the table. Another specific example I can think of, I won't name the project, but it was a project that required a lot of fuel. And what we did is we entered into a fuel hedge with one of these fueling companies. So instead of just paying whatever the market rate for fuel was, we locked in a rate for, I think, half of the fuel on the project. So for that half of that fuel, we at least knew what we were going to pay for it. So if it went up to $5 a gallon, we were protected against something like that. So that's a specific example of what we did in that instance.
I got a couple of smaller questions. I think just things that people, I asked Anthony the same thing, people listening can all look at. So you're the money man, the CFO, and you're looking at things from these huge pictures. And I'll ask one, what's the best piece of financial advice you've ever gotten? And also, what's the best piece you would give to anyone listening that's an employee at Landmark?
Okay. On one of the best pieces of financial advice, and I would tell anybody, is to set it and forget it as far as your 401k plan goes. So there's a couple things with your 401k, especially if your employer does a matching contribution. If you're not invested in your 401k, you're giving up free money. All right. You're not getting that match. But you're also not investing for your future and for your retirement. It's a concept called dollar cost averaging. We get paid on a weekly basis. So if you're in our 401k plan, every week an amount comes out and it goes into whatever investment option that you've selected. And what it does, investing every week, it takes the ups and downs out of the market. So you really hit the market when it's low, you hit it when it's high, and that's where the dollar cost averaging comes out. I know a lot of people get scared of investing when the market's too high because they think it's going to go down and they don't want to. But this kind of thing takes that risk out of play, and it's a wise decision. I think I've been in my 401k plan, in various 401k plans for almost 30 years now, and I think if you start investing and you set it and you forget it, you'll look up 30 years from now and you'll be pretty pleased with what you've done.
Another thing Anthony harps on that I learned as well is the importance of doing it early. I think people don't realize the compounding interest, even 2 or 3 years difference, doing it when you're 22 instead of 25, or if you're sitting here and you're 32 and you're like, I don't really want that little piece to come out of my paycheck. Starting today versus starting in a couple of years makes a huge difference.
It does.
When you start talking about retiring in your 60s or whenever that may be. So that's something I learned pretty early on.
Yeah, and I definitely think that's true. And the earlier you can start, the better. And people have things during their lives, and sometimes you may need to go after that money. But if you don't have to, you just set it and forget it. regardless of what's going on in the economy. I've had people come to me before when there's been some economic turmoil and say, I'm taking my money out of the stock market and the stock market's just gone down 10%. The goal is to buy low and sell high.
Sure.
I really don't get spooked by that. The market does come back. And again, you're in it for the long term. Don't get spooked by short-term fluctuations in the market. Yep.
What would you say is the most underrated role in construction? I know you've got an idea in the finance world.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to stick to the finance side on this. And I don't know what you want to call it, but the ladies in our company that do our payroll and our accounts payable, it's two of those jobs that they really only hear from somebody when something's gone wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But going back to my previous point, the sheer volume of transactions that come through this company from a payroll perspective and accounts payable perspective it's staggering. And these ladies do a fantastic job. Nobody's perfect. Mistakes happen from time to time, but they really do a good job of doing everything that they can to make sure that our employees get paid what they're owed, when they're owed it, and as well as our vendors getting those folks paid as well.
I think I'll support anyone that helps me make sure that money is in my account every week.
That's right. That's
nothing
right.
Wrong with that. Quick one, funny one. If you weren't a CFO, what's the profession you're choosing, Jeff?
Yeah, it would be golf. If I had no constraints, I'd grab my clubs and I would try to become a professional golfer. I am not that good, but that would be the dream. I would love to go see how good I could get and see what I could do. Yep.
I think anybody that has spent any time in the office has heard you whack one on the simulator. Favorite landmark project?
Yeah, I've got a couple. The easy one is Project Connect up in Columbia, just being, I believe, maybe the biggest project in the country going right now.
Yep.
So that is something that's very cool to be involved in. I think my second one, and it's another current one going on now, would be the Google project. I think Will Taylor and Tom Gregg and his crew, they're doing a fantastic job managing that project. And I think what it does for us is it gets us in that data center space.
Absolutely.
It's a growing sector. Amazon, Google, Facebook, all of them, Microsoft, you know, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. And they're going to be building these things all over the country. And I think that gives us a competitive advantage over some other folks for work that we can go after.
All right. So some advice again, coming back to all of our listeners. What would you tell someone new to the construction industry that maybe is interested, not sure how they want to get their foot in the door?
Right.
What advice do you have for them?
A little bit tongue in cheek. It's not for the faint of heart. It is a very demanding job. It's very demanding in the field and it's very demanding in the office. There's so much that goes on that is so time sensitive so that we can project these projects and make sure they're on time and on schedule and on budget. But it is very rewarding when you see these projects come in and they are on schedule and on budget, get completed in a good fashion.
Any advice for those looking to move into leadership roles from the field to the office, really?
Yeah. So my advice would be kind of what I did is just keep working hard, concentrate on doing things the right way. And I think it will be noticed. It will be noticed by other leaders within the company and they will pull you up into a leadership position if you desire that.
All right. And then just looking forward for Landmark, what excites you of the future of Landmark?
So I think continuing to go after and landing these big projects that we've been after. We've got Connect going on right now. I think we've just been awarded the Boeing expansion project. Those are exciting things. And I think that I look forward to landing more of those big projects and then also expanding into new markets. We recently opened up an office up in the Midlands to support the project that we've got going on right now, but also to go after other work in the Columbia area and even up the interstate towards the Charlotte areas. Those are the things that excite me going forward.
That's awesome. I hope everyone got a decent view of our CFO does and what the accounting department kind of does and the importance of that to everyone's success here and the company's success as a whole. Thank you for coming and doing this, being episode 2 as we figure out this whole podcast thing. A few things I do want to mention. We're doing a giveaway again for anyone that made it this far. You'll be contacted if you won, but just send one job that Jeff had prior to being a CFO. That can be a job title, anything that, or really one fact about Jeff, so how long he's been here, something like that. And then number 2, again, have these resources I don't know are being used to their fullest, specifically when it comes to communication. I'll probably send out with this podcast. Just remember that if you have questions for leadership, you have concerns, you can anonymously or with your name attach those questions and they will get answered. If you've got your name on it, it may come directly to you. If it's a valid question, it may be something that we put out towards the company, and it could be something we, so just whole podcast thing is really meant to be communication for all of us as employees, just to know where the company's going, to learn about people here. But that extends both ways. So please, if it's slick text, if it's email, if safety, whatever it is, just please communicate. It starts with us.